Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Hope you're all well. Thanks for making us part of your day. The great Tim Lacombe will join us coming up here in just a moment.
Excited to talk to Tim about this Clippers game and how things went in these back-to-back Clippers games, because it was so great to get the news that the Clippers were going to come onto that court fully loaded. Loved hearing that. Loved seeing that they had that competitive juice flowing through them and jumped out on the court. But not the outcome we wanted to see, but I want to get Tim's thoughts on that.
Well, joining us now, Tim Lacombe, former assistant coach down at BYU, now part of our Jazz pre, half, and post game shows. Kind enough to join us. Coach, how are you?
Hey, Coach.
What's going on, y'all?
Man, it's good to hear from you again. Love catching up with you.
It's a weekly hit, you know, so at least you get a week. You get me once a week there.
Yep.
Home dog.
And what, we have you on Friday, too?
That's true, yeah.
So
it all runs together for me. It seems like I'm always on with somebody, so hopefully everybody enjoys it.
Well, let's talk about the Clipper game. Did that game bring you any cause for concern for the Jazz, or just another game against a really good team? What are your thoughts after that one?
No, it was a high level game, man. It was two really, really good teams. I think what actually I got from it is I actually grew even more respect for the Jazz competitive nature. You know, it was a night that Clippers were hell-bent on, you know, putting their stamp on this thing. And the Jazz, you know, they didn't just play along. You know, we've seen plenty of nights in the NBA through the years that the team, you know, a game like that where the other team's got all the momentum with guys coming back and the reserves, you know, two nights before played really well. So it was one of those nights that you almost looked at from the outset, like, you know, the Jazz, you know, most teams might just roll over and play dead, but they did not do that and really battled right down to the last, you know, few seconds, to the point where they got it to where the Clippers, after having a pretty good lead with 2 minutes to go, had to make a couple free throws so the Jazz didn't have a chance to send it to overtime. So I was really impressed. I thought that, you know, a couple bounces here and there go the Jazz way. They maybe find a way to win another one, but also left really impressed with the Clippers. I think they're as good as advertised, and certainly want to try to stagger it so you don't have to play them and somebody else. You know, that hopefully that will be your marquee opponent in the playoffs if you can position it right.
Yeah, Coach, watching that game, you didn't get any scoring output from Royce O'Neal. Was Royce just busy? It defensively focused, his attention, his energy, trying to stay in front of Kawhi. I mean, you saw the workload he took on defensively. When you see a guy that's doing that, do you just completely take him out of the equation offensively?
No, not necessarily. I think more reason that Royce was stifled offensively, it's the way the Clippers employed, and they're the one team, in my opinion, personnel-wise. I don't think the Lakers can do this to the Jazz, because I think they do have a couple of weak links defensively. But when you put that lineup out there for the Clippers, you're not going to get a lot of catch and shoots because they're just not going to get beat a lot. And catch and shoots end up being, you know, when you get beat and help has to come, and then rotation starts, and that's when you get those catch and shoots or in transition. And the Clippers did a great job of taking that away from the Jazz. That's not the be all end all. We've seen the Jazz win games other ways, but specifically Royce thrives on catch and shoot and penetration kicks. And there just weren't a whole lot of that, those things to be had.
Tim Lacombe joining us right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. There's some guys out there that you love them when they're on your team. You hate them when they're on the other team. And I think that kind of goes with Patrick Beverley. I think has just been kind of a player that's always been fun to watch from a defensive standpoint in the league.
For sure. You know, he's just the ultimate do whatever I got to do. You know, the Jazz got a handful of those guys too. But Patrick Beverley's a special level competitor. And I think saying what you said, Scotty, is exactly right. It's a guy who you hate to see, you know, and from the very first possession of both games, he was, you know, right in Donovan's grill. He made Donovan work for everything. And you have to, if you're Donovan, you got to take that as a real compliment, because this Clipper team, their antennas were up. And, you know, they felt like momentum-wise they needed to win the game. And so I think what you guys alluded to earlier, the Jazz need to really take it as a compliment too, because I think the league is taking note of what the Jazz are doing. I think that the way they've done it and the fact that they're not just a one-trick pony is definitely out there. And the Clippers knew they had to really kind of put their best effort out there to end the Jazz, you know, most recent win streak.
I was really curious to see what this Clippers team would do to follow it up, because they obviously had the big matchup on the big network against the Brooklyn Nets a night later. And the Nets were without Durant. They had Harden and Irving on the court. And just watching that game and watching the energy that the Clippers came onto the court with, again, putting Batum, Leonard, and Paul George all out on the court with Ibaka and Beverly, and having pretty much a full roster and going against the Brooklyn Nets, I thought that the Clippers would do work. The Nets end up beating them 112-108, and a weird call on a push off on Paul George, which didn't seem right. But what did you
push
think
off
of that?
P.
Yeah, push off P. What did you think of the Brooklyn Nets beating that Clippers team that had just beat the Jazz?
This Brooklyn Nets team is ridiculously good. I think it's obviously been duly noted their defense is non-existent. But our boy David Locke was tweeting out some numbers about them, offensive numbers, and they're just staggering. And I think that what they have the ability to do offensively every night should just really make the whole league shudder. Because they have guys that they have three guys that you can guard really well, and they can still, by virtue of just being phenomenal one-on-one players, they can still get to their spot and get their shot in their rhythm at their speed. And that's a scary proposition. So I think it's a huge statement by Brooklyn to win that game, especially after seeing the way the Clippers, you know, stepped up and guarded the Jazz. So color me a little bit surprised on that one from the outside, but I think there is a whole lot of momentum building with this Brooklyn team, and certainly they're, you know, rising from the ashes of a really bad East, and I think it's going to be the Western Conference versus the Brooklyn Conference is, I think, what this thing will end up being.
Wow.
Well, I mean, it's hard to deny that kind of talent, that kind of lineup for sure. And it's you know, and I guess I don't know. I'm trying to go back a ways. You didn't really have Jim or Fredette on that team to play defense. You know, Jackson Emery and a lot of those other guys stepped up to play defense. There are certain guys you like. Look, you're so good offensively. Go out there and do your thing, and we'll try to make the rest of it work.
Yeah, and you know, that's what we did. We employed one of the game's first and only, to that I can remember, 2-2 zones. It really allowed Jimmer to just kind of rest, and the other four guys really played that 2-2 zone really well. That's a joke, of course.
Yeah, I know.
So that's what Jax and the boys would say they did for Jimmer.
I'm sure they let you know about that, too.
Man, I really like what you do with your zone. What exactly do you do with your zone? Well, Jimmer comes over to get a drink of water. Jackson basically takes the right flank. Davies controls the whole thing from down below, and Hartsock occasionally will contest a tough shot. And then once we get the rebound, throw it to Jimmer. And in fact, you guys will get a kick out of this. This is going to change the subject, but it's a damn good story, so I'm going to share it.
Attaboy.
We went to Sweet 16, and kind of – I guess it was kind of like, you know, the championship team gets to go to the White House. You know, Sweet 16, I guess the brethren up in Salt Lake thought it was a pretty cool achievement. So we all got dappered up and threw some cologne on, went on a bus and drove up there to Salt Lake. And we actually got to go meet with the first presidency of the LDS Church. And so we were in there. They came in and we were kicking around, talking to them. They were cool. At the time, it was Iring and our boy Uchtdorf and Tommy Munson. Okay. As Majerus used to call him.
Yeah.
So we're in there shooting the ball, and I'm trying to keep a couple people between me and them because I've heard they have X-ray vision, and I did not want them to terminate me at the high point of my career. So I'm standing behind one or two of them and, you know, the guys and kind of playing along. And so we, you know, we get a picture, and I've got a picture here on my desk of that day, but we get a picture with the first presidency, and there's a ball, and they throw the ball to Thomas Monson. He's holding it for a little bit, and after about four pictures, he said, "Man, I feel like a ball hog. Somebody else hold it. Who should I give it to?" And he said, "I can't give it to Jimmer because I'll never get it back." And he said, "I can't give it to Uchtdorf because he'll just kick it." The only ball he's used to is kick it. I mean, it was hilarious.
Oh, that's funny.
So anyway, it was kind of a cool moment. But he said, "I can't give it to Jimmer because I won't get it back."
Oh, that's incredible.
That X-ray vision thing is real, by the way, because every now and then, there's one that I run into every now and then, and whenever you shake his hand, he's looking at you like, "We need to talk about 1997. You know, it's like,
how are things in the home? I don't know. You tell me.
Yeah.
All I see is two guys in really nice suits ushering Coach Lacombe out of the locker room right after the meeting. Oh, man.
Oh, another great, like, general authority moment. I was in the locker room, and I'm a notorious Diet Coke drinker, among other things nowadays, but Diet Coke, will stick with that. And I was in the locker room after the game, and I had a Diet Coke, and L. Tom Perry came in, who was one of the big guys at the time. So I took a stat sheet, and I just wrapped it around the can. So, you know, it was back before – I mean, it was contraband, honestly, at the time.
Oh, yeah.
I actually had to go bring contraband in. I had my own fridge and Sixers in there. And anyway, I had it covered up, and Cecil Samuelson, the president of the university at the time, looks over and says, what do you got that covered up for? And I said, I didn't know if I could have it, you know, in his presence. And he said, "Oh, man, he probably goes through 12 a day." I was like, "Ah, all right, sweet."
You're like, "All right, we're good.
We're good."
Had a paper wrapped around it.
Brown paper bag.
Look, it's Thunderbird.
I was drinking it out of a bag. I don't raise any suspicions.
Oh, those are good.
Hey, let's talk a little bit about BYU, another big week for them. Obviously, they're in the NCAA tournament, considering now it's just about seeding at this point. Just how, I mean, never in a million years did I think this team would be as good as they were last year. And I don't think they are as good as they were last year, but there's something about this team, man. They just continue to churn out win after win.
Well, I it's so hard for me to compare because I had so many guys I was so close to on the team last year. I've got guys this year and obviously friends with the staff and everything down there. But honestly, from a basketball perspective, and it hit me this weekend, I was watching the LMU game, and I honestly think this team may be better than last year. They do not score the ball as easy. They don't score as easy, but I think they're better defensively, and I think the X factor is they just have great physicality and size, especially this lineup is starting now with Harms and Gideon George and Loner, and then Barcelo's just an absolute stud, you know, and Averett's really stepped up and played great. But I think their depth and their tenacity, I just think they have a better chance because the NCAA tournament's all about a matchup. Scotty, you know that.
Yeah, yep.
And you wait and you see your name pop up on the screen and you're instantly like, hey, that's a real favorable matchup. And you still got to go win the game, but you know, there were some nights where we're sitting there all excited and Texas A&M pops up there with 7-footers, you know, and you're just going, oh, no. That's a hard matchup for us. But I think BYU, just because they're deep and they're versatile and they really guard this year, not that they didn't last year, but I think it's one of the bigger strengths. And but they're also just starting to get better at knowing kind of the analytics of the game, shooting good shots, you know, taking high percentage shots, and you got to credit the staff for that. So I think they got to, you know, everybody talked last year about a chance to make a deep run. I think they could really make a deep run this year because I really like the way their team's put together.
Coach, I almost hesitate to bring this up, but I do kind of want to pick your brain on this because I
don't
sent
hesitate
out a,
ever, buddy.
Okay,
I'm good.
I appreciate
I
that.
I don't think you've ever had a filter before, so let's not start now.
That'll make two of us.
Yeah. Well, I sent out a tweet last week after Caleb Lohner went off for 18 or 19 points, and I said possibly one of Coach Pope's biggest wins was flipping Caleb Lohner from Utah to BYU. And I didn't really understand the depth of what had happened, where Lohner had signed his national letter of intent and then had to get acceptance from Utah to make the switch. And Utah fans were on me saying, yeah, flip is used loosely. It was NCAA violations and tampering. And I'm just curious, from your point of view, Coach, you know, you got a kid that signs a national letter of intent like Lohner that you know can absolutely change your program, because Lohner is a game changer. When he's on, he's incredible because he's giving you physicality defensively, and he'll board anything. That guy can clean any glass. But do things like that happen often in college basketball? And how does something like that happen, where you got a kid that's got his national letter of intent signed, but ends up at BYU a couple months later?
You know, it happens. I think that this one in particular, I think the one thing you have to take into account is that hasn't really been talked about very much, but it was right in the midst of a pandemic with a ton of uncertainty. And honestly, you know, even the way the world has been kind of changed, it really has put more barriers around us. You know, I mean, Salt Lake didn't ever seem that far away. But when you're in the midst of a pandemic and you want to be able to stay home close, you know, where you're living and feel safe. I mean, there's part of that thing with this too that hasn't been talked about. It happens, man, and it's an ugly part of the business. I know it was a hard one for me because I was really tightly I knew Caleb from a really young age and recruited him, and he's become a really good friend, and his family has too. And I've got, you know, great friendships on both sides of that whole thing. So for me, man, it was a gut one. It was a gut thing for Utah. But I agree with you. I mean, I think at the end of the day, the decision that Caleb made really did help the fortunes of this team, because I think he brings an element to that BYU team that, you know, I think that they had bits and pieces of, but I think the whole package, and I think we have not seen what you've seen probably the last three games is way more of what Caleb Lohner is capable of doing. I mean, he's a guy who can go 5-for-5 from three without blinking. And I know in the game at Utah State this year, I feel like he won the game for him up there.
I agree
because
with that.
He made a couple shots that, you know, at the time on paper, you know, when you're prepping it for a game, you're thinking, okay, we'll live with those. And he buries a couple of tough ones. So it's a game changer for sure, a positive one, a negative one. What I've found is that regardless, the most important thing is to maintain relationships because you just never know. And in this situation, I think there were a whole lot of mature people involved. You know, I think the way that Utah approached it from the AD and the coach, you know, they could have made a big, big scene out of the thing. But I think what they realized is the kid had a change of heart, you know, was in the midst of some uncertainty with the pandemic. And, you know, mature people got together and made a really mature decision. And, I was actually glad to see that a kid didn't get punished for it.
Yeah.
And everything else that you allude to, it's all conjecture, right? Like, it's easy to say when, you know, you get beat, that the ref screwed you, and it's easy to say when something like that happens there was crap going on. I don't think there's any indication or proof for any of that. But the most important part of it is that the kid's having a great year and he wasn't penalized for a change of heart and the adults acted like adults.
Well, Coach, we appreciate it. We always like it when you're the adult in the room in these conversations. So thanks for your time, and maybe we'll do it again here real soon. Apparently maybe tomorrow we'll do like three shows in a row.
Enjoy the game tonight, too.
That brings the – I guess that brings the whole maturity level. If I'm the adult in the room, that brings it down to where we're all wearing – like riding trikes and wearing one of those little hats with the propeller on top.
Well, the bar's not set that high around here, so that might be true.
Don't know if you heard the first hour of the show, but pretty sure.
Yeah, is that right?
I'll leave with one word, tilapia.
Yeah, you did. Okay,
there.
Good.
Thanks, Coach.
Thanks, Coach.
See ya.
That's Tim Lacombe right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Out and about today at Elite Works. Scott Brown's with us. Scotty, how you doing, man?
Oh, doing really well. Thanks.
Because you're saving businesses. You're saving people.
That's what
you
I do.
Garbage websites, and you're saving them.
Yeah, and they need it, right?
Yes.
I mean, if you're going to have a horrible site out there, you need to give me a call because we're going to help you. We're going to create a brand new site for you. We're going to include in that site many new pages, content, communicate with you. We're going to put in there SEO and CRM and marketing automation, and we're going to put in there e-commerce. There's so many things that we're going to do, and we're going to help build you a site that represents what you really thought of when you were going to build that business. And that's what we're after. We're going to create it, and it's for free.
For free.
So that's why you need to call us.
I love what you just said there, Scotty. Like, you'll help them bring the vision they originally had, because a lot of people get caught in these websites. Maybe it's a half build, or a friend built it, or a brother built it, and it's just not the vision, and it doesn't have the functionality. People need to understand, you can work your payroll from your website. Yep. You can sell and buy and ship from your website.
Yes.
You can have a schedule and work all your scheduling through your website. And that's what EliteWorks can do. They can
Absolutely.
Add everything.
Yeah, we have the inventory management, the scheduling, things that you keep bringing up so well, Hans. And our website, there's no question. We can create something that will fit what you need, and you will be successful out there in this realm, because our architect, our builder that we've created, much like a Wix or WordPress or Squarespace, is we've done better than they have. And so that's why you need to call us and you know, go local. There's no contracts. We know what we can do. We've put over 4,000 websites on this platform. We've been around for almost 4 years, and we know that we do this really, really well, and we could help you out.
844-523-2777. So you've got the free rebuild, and you can call on that anytime. 844-523-2777. But Scotty and I had a nice conversation before the show started and said, let's offer something for the new builds.
Yep.
You know, people that are out there that are right on the edge, like, okay, I've got to get this built, or I've been thinking about building this, or I just started the business. I got to get this done. Well, we just kind of want to kick you into gear a little bit.
Yeah.
Get it done. And you're offering 3 months free hosting on a new website rebuild. Or, sorry, a new website build.
Yeah, a new website build. We're going to get that dream into a reality for you. That new website that you need.
Create that vision.
Yeah, you're not going to be paying for those 3 months. But you got to call now during this live event, this remote that Hans and Scotty are at. And we would be thrilled to take care of you and build a great website.
Call right now. Take advantage of it. And remember, if you need a website, you don't have one, you'll build it 3 months free. If you've got a website already and it just stinks, well, guess what? They'll rebuild it for free.
Yep.
I mean, there's a lot of free going on here, Scotty.
A lot of free.
It's free 99.
Free 99.
Nobody knows free better than Hans.
That's true.
And I call Scott. Scotty's like, I don't know if we can do that. I'm like, can we try? Like, I don't think we can. 844-523-2777. Let EliteWorks show you what they can do with your website. 844-523-2777.
This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Sports.
This is DJ and PK.
Joined now by Ken Pomeroy.
You're a local guy. What's your favorite local sports radio show?
You know, I'm a big fan of the Movie Zone. Is that a sports show?
No. Sports, Ken. Stay with me. Come on, Ken. Come on.
Okay. I guess it'd be DJ and PK.
Make a promo out of that.
That was pretty convincing, I thought.
Yeah, you really sold it. That was awesome. It's a pretty low bar here, though, so we're not really going to get all that worked up.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me, and I truly, truly love your show and wake up to it every morning. How's that?
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. It's time to saddle up and talk about the winners and the losers. This is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, here's the good.
Good, the bad, the ugly right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone, and the Zone Sports Network. We like a good petty and vindictive story here. And so, for many around the Pac-12, maybe this isn't necessarily a good, but I do think it's funny, is that John Wilner in the Mercury News has a story about Steve Sarkisian, saying that Steve Sarkisian is making his intentions known. He is going to plunder the Pac-12 country in recruiting. He is going into he is going into California. I'm sure it doesn't say Utah, but he'll go to Utah. But he specifically wants to go after Pac-12 talent because he's having a vendetta. And according to this story, someone close to Steve Sarkisian, he's out for blood.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because USC did him so wrong. I love Steve, and Steve is a great teammate, and I think the world of the guy. But if he thinks that it was USC's fault or that the Pac-12 had anything to do with his demise, he's got to think a little bit deeper.
Yeah, there was some self-inflicted damage there.
Yeah.
But apparently he's already snagged some 2022 five-star guy from the state of California.
Oh, I have no doubt that he's going to come in. My guess is that instead of him just wanting to be vindictive or him wanting to pillage the Pac-12, I just think he knows how to recruit the West.
Well, I think that's what it's about, too. I mean, he built a staff that's got a lot of Pac-12 ties. And so I think that he's looking at it like I'm going back to my roots. I know this area well. I know these coaches well.
Yeah, right.
And I'm going to just go in there and have my way with the recruiting there in the state of California.
So put it this way, Scotty. You know, let's say that you go out to, I don't know, Texas or something, and you've got to build a station. You've got to kind of rebuild a station and bring your on-air talent and bring your techs and bring your programmers, and you've got to try to build this station. You're going to go to what you know.
Yeah, yep.
And Steve Sarkisian knows the high school coaches across the California area, and he knows high school coaches here in Utah, and he knows who to trust in the West when they're evaluating talent. So, of course, he's going to come out here and try to pillage. I just don't agree with the, oh, yeah, he's just he's out for blood against the Pac-12.
Well, here's the quote. It's almost like he's preparing to coach in the Pac-12 with the assistants he's bringing in at Texas. It's clear he's out for blood with USC, Washington, and Oregon.
No, he's not. He's out to try to figure out if he can keep his job in Texas by winning again.
I mean, it's not like he got Washington turned around, but they didn't win at a high level. Chris Peterson's the one that took him to the college football playoff. Mm-hmm. It's not like they were churning out.
He had some good talent.
Yeah, he had great talent.
He put some good talent in
and
there.
It's not like he's churning out tons of wins in his short stay at USC. So, you know, you look at it like, he hasn't been overly successful as a head coach.
Yeah. I do hope he can turn things around. I like when Texas is good.
I think it's important for college football for Texas to be good.
Yeah, I think it's great.
Absolutely.
We'll see if he can turn around, but it's going to be a really tough task.
There's your good. Let's get to the bad.
Now the bad.
All right, so we talked about Deion Sanders taking over the head coaching duties at Jackson State. You mentioned on Friday that it would be Jackson State's opener.
Yes.
The FCS opening as well. Well, Jackson State goes out, and they get a 52-0 whooping win. Just beat up the team.
It's over an NAIA school, so you would anticipate that they should be able to win that game fairly easily.
Yeah, should dominate it. Well, Deion Sanders is coming to the podium, and, of course, everybody is thinking, Oh, well, for sure he's going to talk about this win.
Coach is in a good mood.
He's got to be in a good mood. Well, here is Deion Sanders as a head coach in his first opportunity to address the media after a big win.
Start off by saying God bless you. Appreciate you and everything. I'm pissed off right now because I had mixed emotions. We won. The kids played really well. While the game was going on, somebody came in and stole every darn thing I had in my locker room.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Credit cards, wallet, watches. Thank God I had all my necklaces. How? So when I talk about quality, raising standards, that goes for everyone, man. Not just the people on the field, not just the coaches, not just the teachers, not just the faculty, but that's everybody, security in everybody. So how do you think it feels coming back after just teary-eyed because the guys presented me with the game ball, one of the best moments I've ever had in my professional sports career emotionally. And then you go into your locker room, your coach's office to digress, and you notice that you don't even have a phone to call your mama, to call your girl, to call your kids, because it's been stolen. You don't even have the Scully hats that you wore here. We're gonna find out who did it. Let's flush that. Jackson State, D.I. Love. Wonderful game. Defense played the butts off. Guys, I'm 100. Y'all know how I get down. That pissed me off today. And that, y'all know. Come on, man. That don't even make sense. So I'm very transparent. And I'm going to always be transparent with y'all. And I just ask y'all to be transparent and keep it 100 with me.
Coach, was it only your stuff that was
only my stuff?
Okay.
Targeted, man.
Thanks, Coach.
Thank you. God bless y'all, man.
Well, okay. No. You don't end the press conference there. Your team, your first game, your team, talk about your players.
He didn't.
Jeez. Okay. This is why this is not going to work.
This even gets more weird.
Oh, I know, yeah.
So Jacksonville State officials come out and they release a statement saying that the stuff was not stolen, it was misplaced, and it had been found. And so now you've got Deion Sanders that looks like a complete moron because – he instantly goes to the media. He doesn't look to think, okay, maybe I did put the stuff in my car. Maybe it was deeper in my locker. Maybe I just need to – might be a misunderstanding. He went right to the media. He was like, it was stolen. We're going to find who did this. Well, now he's conflicting with his own university. And he's saying, whomever's putting out that lie that my belongings wasn't stolen is lying. My belongings were taken out of a zip bag in my office, and more items were taken as well from my office. We have retrieved them since being reported. My staff member witnessed the crime. So that's where we currently stand. I have not read more into this since this morning. It was funny because all this stuff was kind of being put together this morning.
Yeah.
Well, Jacksonville's comments were released this morning, and then I saw this stuff from Deion Sanders saying, no, it was stolen, and whoever's saying it wasn't is lying. I saw that like right before I left the house this morning. It's like, I don't even know what to believe now. But this is a mess. It's a 52-0 win. It's starting a season.
And look, I think nobody wants your stuff stolen, and I get it. That's bad. That's horrible. But you're Deion Sanders. This is your first game as a head coach. You want to resonate some level of confidence and excitement in your program. You don't go to your first press conference after your first win and start blasting your security and blasting your university and then getting up and leaving.
No, that's not exactly how they saw that going, I'm sure. And we'll see if somebody did actually steal his stuff, but it sounds like it was more of a misunderstanding.
And that's probably what it was. But I don't know. You know, maybe. Maybe so. I don't know. But that's unfortunate for those players who went out there and, you know, fought like crazy, got a win, and their coach goes in the press conference and complains about having some stuff stolen.
I know that's not how I would have done it. I would have been upset.
Now, look, I would have gone to the press conference, and I would have talked about my players, talked about the game. I would have brought it up. I would have said, hey, you know what? Crazy thing happened. And then as soon as that press conference is over, I turn into Tony Jones there in the back, and I start raising all kinds of hell.
Yeah.
Deion's had some weird moments in his career.
Yeah.
Wasn't it him that said that didn't pay like a mechanic because Jesus told him not to?
Oh, I vaguely remember
that. I don't remember that.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty sure Deion didn't pay. He didn't pay a bill to a mechanic because the good Lord told him not to.
Hey, honestly.
Hey, look, I want to give you the money, but, you know, dude upstairs says
yeah.
Look,
no.
Guys, we can laugh about that, but if he tells you not to pay a mechanic, you don't pay the mechanic.
Hands
no, you, you
no,
still, you know,
you
got to
do it. This doesn't make it okay for you either.
Those voices in your head are not the big man telling you not to pay a bill.
Well, just never can be too safe.
No, you can be 100% sure in that you pay the mechanic. All right, let's get to the ugly.
And of course, the ugly.
So we're here at Small Claims Court. Mr. Sanders, why did you not pay your mechanic? Well, God told me not to. All right, well, case dismissed. Move on. Can't really argue with that.
He's the ultimate judge.
Yep.
This is a bad one. You know, we've kind of followed this Kellen Winslow case. Kellen Winslow was a heck of a football player. Played in the NFL from 2004 to 2013. He's a Pro Bowler. And when we talk about some of those versatile tight ends, the yeah. split outs, athletic tight ends, the receiving tight ends, Kellen was kind of the one of the beginnings of that crop of tight ends.
Yep.
Well, he just agreed to a 14-year sentence in prison. And we've been following the rape trial that's gone on. There were multiple women that claimed that they were raped by him. Well, he was facing up to 18 years. They ran a plea agreement, and he's now doing court on March 3rd. What is that, a week and a half from now?
Yeah.
And he will, in fact, on March 3rd, accept the 14-year prison sentence. 14 years in prison, going from an NFL superstar, millions of dollars, all the fame and glory you could imagine, you know, everything that he's got going for him, and it's all gone.
And if you get into the details on this, they're awful.
I can't even talk about it.
I mean, it's like, really disgusting.
I had to leave everything out of it because I remember when we originally talked about this, he was in the bad or the ugly for a running period of probably a month. That he was showing up in either the bad or the ugly because more women were coming forward. And the details, Scotty, oh, man, what this guy did, he should spend life.
Yeah.
He was going to spend life in prison.
Yeah.
But because the way our legal system works, you plead down a few things, get a good lawyer, have some money, and he'll be out in 14 years. So I don't know how old he is right now, but my guess he's probably –
it's probably mid-late 30s, I'd say.
Mid to late 30s?
Yeah.
Okay, so he'll probably be out sometime around the age of 50, 55, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Remember, 37.
37. Oh. His dad was one of the – I think his dad's a Hall of Famer, right?
Oh, I don't know.
Kellen Winslow Sr. Played for the Chargers, was received a bunch of – or was Dan Fouts' primary guy.
I don't know.
Let's see here. I think he is.
He was the man, huh?
Yeah. Let's see. First pick, five-time Pro Bowler. Was on the NFL 100th anniversary all-time team. Yep, Pro Football Hall of Fame. And College Football Hall of Fame, too. Was a broadcaster, too. I know Bowler did a bunch of games with him.
Can you imagine? This situation couldn't be worse. This is one of the worst uglies we've had.
Yep.
This guy that had everything.
All right, Whole World News coming up next. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
The Big Show. The Big Show. With Jake Scott and Gordon Monson.
A woman was in the backcountry of Alaska and walked to the outhouse, sat down, and suddenly felt a bite on her butt. She screamed, looked down, and guess what was in there? A bear.
A bear!
That's kind of gross.
You were entertaining this notion of traveling the country, but see, it's stories like this why I don't think you'd like it. Like outhouses, to begin with. I just don't think somebody used to the lifestyle that you're used to would function very well with outhouses and what is in said outhouse.
I'll tell you one thing. If a bear bit me in the butt, that would scare the crap right out of me.
Waka, waka.
Catch the Big Show weekdays from 2 to 7. Presented by Big O Tires, the team you trust. On 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
We've got the whole world in our hands.
You got the whole world.
Welcome back. Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 12 into the Zone and the Zone Sports Network.
So good weekend, though. You had a good one.
An amazing weekend. Yeah. Absolute blast. A lot of stories on the ice that we just obviously don't have time to talk about today.
No time for that. No, sir.
Well, I got to admit, though, whole world news today is pretty intriguing. This is interesting. Much better than the hairball that ended up in a woman's stomach.
That was the worst story you shared on whole world news.
Well, when the two disorders, you've got two kinds of disorders. One where you pull your hair out.
No. I don't.
And then the other disorder where you eat hair, not necessarily the hair you pull out, but when those combine, you end up with a real illness. And that's what happened last Friday in our story. This is a much better story today, though, Scotty. It starts out a little scary. A bomb squad was called in Ohio to a church.
Okay. I thought you were going to make a joke there. Sorry.
No joke. Bomb squad was called to a church in Ohio. And it's one of those, you know, huge cathedrals. There was a package that was left by the door, and it looked suspicious. So you've seen the bomb squad. You've seen the movies where they're dressed in these, you know, masks.
Was it Hurt Locker?
Hurt Locker.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great movie. Hard to watch, but great movie.
Yeah.
Well, bomb squad comes out. You got the guy that's dressed in gear. You've got the units that are parked outside of the cathedral. You've got the package in front of the door. And this guy is approaching it very slowly. And everybody's being extremely cautious. And as they get up to the package, it says Specialist Mike Grimes and Detective Dethridge got up to the package. And they started to listen for strange noises.
Like a clock ticking?
Yeah, clock ticking or any type of working parts on a bomb. And they heard noises, but it was purring.
Oh, no.
So they got down, they opened up the bag, and it was a mama kitten, and it was her 6 one-day-old kittens. Or it was a mama cat and her 6 one-day-old kittens. Somebody stuffed them all in one of those carrier baggages.
Yeah.
And put it on the front door of the cathedral with a note that said, let's see, I want to find the parts of the note. This is Sprinkles. Sprinkles just had these babies. I can't afford Sprinkles. Mom's name is Sprinkles. She began giving birth at 2 p.m. Wednesday, February 17th. We cannot afford Sprinkles or these kittens. So they packed them up in a bag and left them on the cathedral door.
Well, it's a good thing the bomb squad didn't do that thing where sometimes they, like, blow up a package. Like a suspicious thing. They put it in, like, that case and then they blow it up.
Yeah, they set the bowl on top of it and blow it up.
That would have been messy.
Oh, man. Well, it was either that or apparently the cat's getting eaten by Tim Tebow.
Tebow's like, I'll take care of that for you. I got that.
Yeah. I don't know where Lloyd came up with that. But yeah, this all turned out really good, Scotty. The cats were taken down to the Humane Society. They were each given their vaccinations. They're warm, and they're actually all going to be adopted out, including Sprinkles, the mom that gave birth to these 6 kittens. I am so glad that the bomb squad didn't come in stomping.
Yeah.
You know, or like you said, detonated. Or
yeah, that would have been bad for Sprinkles. And sprinkled everywhere.
You know, Jaybird's going to text
no,
you.
No, that's just dogs.
No, so that's why it's all animals.
No, that's why I went after cats.
Your disdain for animals is horrible.
That's not true. Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Scotty's hanging out with us once again. How are you, man?
Oh, I'm doing better than good.
Scotty, are you proud to Elite Works, are they proud to sponsor Whole World News every day?
Oh,
we're talking about cats.
You know, it's probably one of my goals I set when I was young. You know, when I was trying to get my Eagle Scout and really find out where I was going in life.
I want to sponsor Whole World News someday.
And here I am.
Here we are.
I did it.
You did it, buddy. We love having Elite Works sponsor Whole World News, and we are proud to have them a part of our show because you guys continue to treat our listeners like gold.
Yeah.
And you know what's crazy? And Scotty, I don't know if you can argue this, but we've been doing this for 8 months. We've had plenty of listeners sign up, get their websites built, and we have not had a complaint yet.
Ah,
that's true. I have not had anybody
not
reach
a
out to us on
yet.
Well,
Twitter
the nice part that we do is that our complaint line, it's just a dead-end phone. So it goes to a busy signal.
That's really nice. That one you yes. actually direct overseas. Huh?
Yeah. We're like, we don't want to take those.
You know what I do love, though? If you did have an issue or a problem, if you dial the phone number and you try to call because your website's not working, it dials right here to good old Lehigh, Utah.
Lehigh, Utah, my friend. The Pioneers.
Yep.
The Pioneers of Lehigh, Utah. And you're going to instantly get help.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no question. In fact, today we had a gentleman call in, and he needed some help with his website, just a local company, Twilla Cycling Company. And so I got him in touch with Emma, who's doing our organization of all of that, and she was going to call him back and take care of that. But that's exactly what happens. You know, if you have issues, concerns, you want a new website, you want a website rebuild, you just call up. You're going to get someone live here in Lehigh. It's a local company. There's no contracts. We've done over 4,000 websites on our platform.
That's awesome.
So you've got to come be a part of the thing. Yeah. Everyone wants to be in, right?
Yeah, this is.
You want to be cool? You want your wife and girlfriend to think you're cool? Come to Elite Works.
That's the key. It's the newest, greatest thing in software.
Right? Ever.
So you are instantly going to
Wait.
Cool.
I think that's Elon Musk on the other line. Elon, you're going to have to hold on.
Just chill out a little
bit. I'm on with 1280 The Zone, okay?
I'll get back to you. I know we've got those spaceship things coming, but I'll get back to you. I do. I love Elite Works. I love what they can do for your business. And I love how much money they can save you. Right now, they're doing free website rebuilds. So if you've got a website and you hate it or it needs to be more functional or it needs to be updated, they'll do it for free. 844-523-2777. So if you've got a website, call them. They'll rebuild it. They'll make it better. 844-523-2777. And during the show only, if you need a new website, if you're thinking about building a website, Elite Works is going to offer you 3 months of hosting for free.
Absolutely. Absolutely. 3 free months, and which is a great offer, you know, for you. You need to be cool, right? Your girlfriend, your wife thinks you're cool. You're going to be like, I got a new website.
Got a new website.
You know?
I'm legit.
Oh, I like that. Yeah.
You're guaranteed to get lucky tonight.
Yeah. Show them that website.
Yeah.
Wow, Scotty.
Look, this isn't the first time we've had to dump one of our clients. You'll be
so lucky to own one of these websites.
844-523-2777.
Oh, I love you guys.
So you're cool because you're going to get 3 months for free, and you're going to have that new calling card, that business card online. go to eliteworks.com or call 844-523-2777. Get it cool. Let's go.
Get cool.
Right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.